We may never know, Uther. I intend to live forever.
How dare you show your face here?
Faces.
Don't laugh at that, you idiot!
A lot of story there, a lot of lore. For those of you who are into that kind of thing, I love you.
Welcome to Live, Laugh, Lore, the podcast that explores where we've been and where we may go next in the World of Warcraft.
Welcome, everyone, to Live, Laugh, Lore, episode 37, the show that if it was a Disney villain, I'd say we were Yzma, because in Kronk's defense, all our potions look alike. Each episode, we'll check in, have some laughs, and talk all about the lore of Warcraft, one or two topics at a time. My name is Jin. I'm the dungeon master and podcaster that loves a good villain. And I'm joined by Allie, who can't wait to know more about Lord Saxton. At least I hope that's true.
It's true. It's true. I really want to know if this guy is as bad as I think he is. Can I throw an axe at his head? And can we dethrone him? Really is what I want to know.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah. That's good that you want to know all of that. That makes me happy.
No, genuinely, like I'm eager to know more about him and so many other things, and I'm having a great time.
Sweet. Now that is good news. Well, speaking of which, how have you been? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? It's been a couple weeks. So I am still working through Sylvanas with my raid team. We can get like halfway through phase two before we start falling apart. On the good pulls, that is, on the good pulls. Yeah. She's a bit tricky. And we've been missing some key players here and there, so that has been tricky as well. But I feel good. I think we're going to get AOTC in time. It's going to take a little bit of work, but we're going to get it, which is awesome. So that's good. And
I believe in you.
I believe in us. We can do it. I've been as my part, because I haven't had the time or mental energy to pug mythic pluses and that kind of thing. So as my part, I've been grinding out conduit upgrades and from Corthia. Now, granted, that may be like just an itty bitty little more healing, but if it helps, I don't care. I will do it because we need to get OTC. So other than that, some mount runs that have been unsuccessful. And playing some Metroid Dread on the Switch because I love Metroid. And yeah, I don't know. It's been weird because my work closed down because of COVID. And we just went back today, which I did not like going back. I like staying home and being on my couch and playing video games and being with my dogs. It was great.
That does sound great.
It was great. It's great. But yeah, that's pretty much the gist. Nothing too exciting. Just a lot of happiness over here. What have you been up to?
Honestly, not a ton. Like if I was going to talk about what I've been doing in Warcraft, it's really not much at all because I honestly haven't really been logging in because, you know, we are taking a break until 9.2 from the raid team. So at least that's what I'm doing because I needed a break and I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
So yeah.
If you need it, you need it. Good for
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and you remember, I think it was like, I want to say like, what was it? Yeah, last month when we were doing D&D, you remember how a deer actually hit my car? Hit a deer
yes,
hit my car.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, apparently, I'm finally getting that fixed. It's the car's in the shop. And
okay.
It's one of those things where I'm like, well, I don't really, let's just say, I didn't really want to mess with getting a rental car just yet, so I don't have a car this week, and it's been kind of funny. So, yeah, so I've been, you know, walking to the store, picking up donuts in the morning, so that's been nice. You know, the only really difference is you can't get Starbucks, you just got to go walk to the grocery store, and it's been fun. I've actually been getting my 10,000 steps every single day because of it. Very easy to get to 10,000 now, so.
Yeah. All that walking will do it.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty great for that. Definitely been having fun with the you know, walking around. And I don't really have much else to say, at least right now. But I do have a funny story about it when we talk about what we're drinking.
I do too, but mine might be different. And I already told you mine. How about, have you been prepping more DM stuff?
Well, I mean, obviously I've been prepping more DM stuff. I'm getting ready for, you know, I'm not going to say a big reveal, but a bit of a reveal a little bit as things start making more and more sense for, you know, the next time we play, so session 4. Yeah. Gee whiz, that's actually coming up sooner than I thought. Yeah, that's going to be February 12th that we're going to play that. Yeah. So yeah, February 12th, if you're curious about D&D, that's when we're going to be playing that one. And
session 3 is up on YouTube, and it's also on Jin's VOD if you want to go watch.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had a great time.
Yeah.
No combat, though. Not a single bit of combat, even though I kept expecting it. No,
which was a little weird. We could have, but we talked instead, and it worked out. So far, it's good. It's good. I think we're on a good path. It took a little bit of a roundabout way to get there, but we got there.
It's true. There was a lot of, hey, have you talked to this guy? And yeah, they just kept talking to the right people and figuring out where to go. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, my character basically likes to get people drunk and get them talking. It's good.
It's true.
It's good times. It's
happened multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been great. But anyway, I mean, that's about it for me. So you want to talk about what we're drinking? Since
I have a funny, I sure do.
I have a funny story to go along with it.
Mine's not as funny as yours. Jin, do you like pina coladas?
I do. Do you like getting lost in caught in the rain?
Caught, yeah,
lost. I don't know. What's the lyrics?
It's caught.
Caught. Okay. I'll guess I'm caught in the rain. Cool.
So Jin, you know what? A few days ago, was like, let's have pina coladas. I'm like, okay. And ever since then, I'm like, how many days has that been now? When did you say that? Saturday?
I want to say it was Friday or Saturday, but I'm guessing
Friday
Saturday.
Or Saturday. Today is Tuesday night. Since then, this song has been stuck. And now, granted, I like this song. I know the song. I like it. It's okay. But it's been stuck in my head ever since then. So every once in a while, just randomly, it'll pop in my head, and I'll just start humming it or singing it. And it's out of the blue and fun. And I blame Jim.
Well, that's okay. You can blame me.
Jin. Jim, yeah. Jin, it's
whatever.
I've been watching a lot of Office lately, too. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
That guy. I'm going to blame him. Yeah. I've actually had a different song stuck in my head. I got the Garth Brooks, bring me 2 pina coladas, and I have 1 for each hand. You know, set sail with Captain Morgan and never leave dry land.
Captain Morgan's a great one to set sail with.
Yeah.
He is. He is indeed.
Yeah, so that's the song I've had stuck in my head. But anyway, the funny story for me is I was like, hey, you want to do pina coladas? You remember, I said, I don't have a car this week.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know, pretty sure this store is going to have everything. Turns out they did, except one ingredient. The coconut, you know.
The coconut cream can thingy.
Yep.
Yeah.
They didn't have that. So I was walking up and down those aisles going, come on, it's got to have it. So turns out I was like, okay, well, they already have like the pina colada premix stuff. Here's your warning, everybody. Don't use that. It's not.
Are you using that tonight?
Good Lord, no.
Okay, I was going to judge you. Not going to lie. I was going to judge you.
No. The funny story is I was like, well, I purchased the premix stuff. That's what I did. And then I purchased everything else to go along with it, except the coconut cream can thing, like the cream corn style thing. I don't friggin' know. It's whatever it is.
It was a little weird. Well, it says to like shake it and stuff before you use it. And I shook it and there's no movement. And so it was like,
I took a
spoon on the top, but I didn't know that. And so because I've never used it before, so I started scooping out the congealedness and then it revealed all this liquid on the bottom. I'm like, oh. Okay, so let's scoop that back in there and give it a little mix and then put it back in. It was a little awkward.
All right, well, here is the funny story. It's called, I'm walking around right in the middle of the store and I ordered it on Amazon. They had it. So I was like, well, I'm here at the store Saturday and I need it on Tuesday. Hopefully it'll get there. Got there on Sunday, so there we go.
Oh, that's good. We struggle with that a little bit too, only because the main grocery store we go to that actually has a good selection, good prices, they're on strike.
Oh, well, there you go.
Whole state, and obviously we support that. It's very warranted, and so we're not going to cross that picket line. nor would they let him if he actually tried. He went to the parking lot and quickly turned around because there's a lot of people with signs. So we're not going to cross the picket line. So he went to the grocery store from a different chain closer to us. They didn't have it. So then my husband went to a liquor store by work and he was able to get it. And it was lovely.
Yeah, it's good that you get it because that's an important ingredient. Even if
it really helps.
Even if you get the Malibu freaking, coconut liqueur, which I did, get this for the right, consistency. Yeah, it's fair, fabulous.
Fair.
Honestly, this is the best freaking pina colada I ever had. So I would go so far as to say is this recipe is probably my favorite blended, not my favorite drink, but favorite blended drink I've ever had. It's freaking fantastic.
For me, strawberry daiquiri still tops it because I'm a big fan of strawberry daiquiris, but this is a close second because this is pretty tasty.
It's freaking fantastic. That's what it is.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, who did the Patreon last time? I don't know. Was that me or was it you?
That was you.
All right. Well, I'm going to do this one then. Go ahead.
Was I taking a drink just now trying to get out of it? Yeah, yes, I was. Did it work? No.
Go ahead and get caught in the Patreon reading.
Oh, I'll get caught in the patrons and non-patrons. Listeners, I invite you to get caught in the ring with me. Because if you like supporting shows that talk about the hobbies and interests that you're into, or if you talk to the host while you're listening in the car or taking your dogs on a walk, or getting caught in the rain. And if you've answered yes to any of those questions, then you can stay tuned till the end of the show and find out how to keep this show and our silly habits going.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, so we're going to move into the ABK news. It's Tuesday. We're recording this Tuesday, January 18th. I woke up at 6 a.m. today. My wife looked at me and was like, hey, you want to know something funny? And I was like, what's going on? She said, apparently Microsoft has purchased or is purchasing Activision Blizzard. So there you go. There's the news. Wow. So, and the Twitter was all aflame. It was,
yep.
It was burning down. So, let's just say it was very weird. Anyway, I just want to throw a few key points in here before we discuss this. Number one, the acquisition has not been approved yet. It's got to go through the FTC and the EU. So, because remember, Microsoft got slapped by the EU pretty hard a while ago. So, it's got to go through that too. All right, then we also have the next one. If this does get approved, which all signs point to yes, because they put out a big press release and everything, everyone's very excited. Seems like they're going to sail through just okay. Anyway, it's expected to be completed by June of 2023. Okay, that's not really the important stuff to talk about. The really important stuff is this last little bullet point I have here, which is last little thing. Okay, this is according to Wall Street Journal. That's what they said, right? Bobby Kotick will no longer be CEO, okay? And when I say CEO, according to Wall Street Journal, he's going to be gone. He will exit the company and be no longer there, which is, I'm happy for that. So yeah, the new CEO of the company will be Phil Spencer. He is the current CEO of Microsoft Gaming. So there you go. There's the fun, just the highlights of everything that went down today, so... What were your initial thoughts, Allie, who did not see the news until you got home from work?
Well, I saw the news briefly on my lunch break, but honestly, I had a really draining day and I took a nap on my lunch break and it was lovely. I looked at the news. I'm like, I can't process this right now. I'm going to bed. So I curled up in my car and listened to The Office and dozed off. And then my alarm went off and I had to go back to work. So I didn't really get to dive in until after work. And I was like, oh my God, everything blew up. So multiple things. On one hand, I'm actually overall, the mood tends to be hopeful, cautiously hopeful. I'm hearing some pretty decent things about this Phil Spencer guy and about, the state of Microsoft gaming these days, from people that I trust their opinions, their fellow gamers and stuff, obviously, but I trust their opinions. I feel pretty good about that. I like the fact that Bobby Kotick's probably gonna be leaving. That's good. I had a feeling that at some point something like this might happen, but I did not at all expect Microsoft. That was jaw-dropping for me. But there was this interview with CNBC with Bobby Kotick and Phil Spencer, and it's on Wahoo and stuff. You can go watch it. But so Bobby Kotick has the most disgusting grin on his stupid face. As opposed to the last video we saw of him where he is soulless and only blinks four stinking times. The posing faces of Bobby Kotick, it just makes my skin crawl. He's going to get a chance to get some money out of this and walk away and get himself out of the spotlight and out of, you know, the fire and away from all these allegations against him. And he is grinning like he got away with murder, and it's disgusting, and I hated every second of it. And I'm glad he's going to be gone. And it almost feels, because they mentioned something in this interview that it happened kind of quickly between Bobby Kotick and Phil Spencer and their talk, supposedly. I think it was Phil who said something about how it happened kind of quickly. So it kind of feels that Bobby Kotick, you know, he made this promise that he was like, if we can't fix things in a timely manner, I will step down, everyone. It's okay. It feels like he realized he can't fix it in a timely manner, and he's going to sell the company and get money and leave.
Yeah, that is what it feels like.
That might be me being cynical, but all these things were my initial thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, there was a tweet that I saw where someone was breaking down all the different parts of his contract, and it said how much money he is basically posed to get upon exiting, and it was roughly $290 million just to say bye-bye. And I was like, okay, well, that's, I don't know, that feels like terrible to reward.
It does.
Awfulness, but anyway, that is the sad and disgusting nature of the world today, is that that's how it works. But I kind of agree with the overall tone of positivity so far. I want to say I'm cautiously optimistic, because there's actually a lot of articles and things like that about like with management and business and things like that, where they will point to Microsoft, at least I don't necessarily know about the gaming side, but Microsoft as a whole, as a company that actually managed to do what Blizzard was attempting to do, which is change its culture, right? So that right there is the main reason why I'm a little hopeful, because, hey, they pulled it off because...
And honestly, the number one reason they did pull it off is Microsoft originally had, we all know, Bill Gates, right? And then the Steve Ballmer guy, I think was the other dude. I don't freaking remember. Doesn't matter. Moving on.
But when the current CEO came in, he actually was able to change the culture. And that's one of the things why myself and so many others were advocating to say bye-bye to Bobby, because something like this, when you needed to completely change the culture, wasn't going to happen when he's been there for basically 30 years. Like, he's been there since the
90s.
And
all of his buddies are on the board of directors who are also going to be going bye-bye with this, from what I read.
Yeah. And there's another reason, at least a little bit hopeful, is if you actually look at the current board of directors of Microsoft Gaming, it's actually more women than men. So
I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those things where they actually followed through with that whole, we're actually going to have a diverse and wonderful workplace and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Just the fact that there are, I believe, I want to say, I think I counted, there are 8 women on the board. And if you include Phil Spencer, there's like 6 or 7 men. So there you go.
All right. Cool.
So yeah, there you go. Something to at least be kind of hopeful about?
Yeah, I think so. I'm cautiously optimistic, like I said. I have heard, this is, you know, outside reports, obviously, but outside reports from fans of various games across Microsoft and all of its studios now, like not just ABK, but we're looking at Bethesda and ZeniMax and some other ones. From what people are saying is that Microsoft, for the most part, tends to be hands off and kind of let those companies make their games, for the most part, is what I'm hearing. So
that's kind of what I heard.
That'd be good. Yeah.
I've been hearing really good things from Halo Infinite. Well, I haven't played it, but
heard really good things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's... I don't know. Do you have any final thoughts before we move on? Because...
We should move on. I mean, otherwise we're gonna be here for a while. So
yeah, I didn't know what to think or say, and honestly, by the time we record the next episode, there's probably gonna be a whole lot more information come out because
yep, totally.
All the articles were dropping this morning, folks. So
by the time, even the employees were pretty surprised by it too.
I'm sorry, there's one tweet that I gotta tell you about. I don't know if you saw that. It was the funniest crap on the planet. Someone tweeted, "Hey, such and such." They just they were tweeting at one of the Hearthstone developers, and they're like, "Can I play Battlegrounds on my Xbox?" And they responded, "No." And then like 3 minutes later, "Okay, I just read the news. I don't know what the F is going on."
Yeah, reading like Josh Allen, Devlore's tweets about it when the news broke to him, it was pretty hilarious. Taryn Gregory was talking about how, I guess, the studio who first started working for when he was in the gaming industry was for a Microsoft studio. And now 23 later, he's back with Microsoft. It's like, well, this is a thing. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out, I think.
Yeah, I liked Steve DeNewser's take. They're playing the long con just to get you back.
I forget who read it. I read someone called Mike Ybarra Trojan Horse as like maybe Microsoft secretly sent Mike over to ABK just to check things out, see if it worked for Microsoft, and I report back to Microsoft because now they're going back to Microsoft. So
yeah, I know Demi wrote that. Oh, I saw that. That was pretty funny. I got a kick.
Was that Demi who wrote that? I couldn't remember.
She said in the Discord, she's like, "It wasn't me who came up with it, but I'm taking credit."
Oh, I had a good laugh at that.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. But anyway, we really don't know a ton. We'll probably tell you more next time if there's more news to report. So with that, let's go ahead and jump into a little bit of this.
What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. About some stuff and things. Anyway, let's just say during the past 2 weeks, I've enjoyed a lot of the conversations going around about the jailer and his 9,000 IQ plan, right? I watch those videos. They're like, whoa, he had to do this and then this and then this. Yeah. Anyway, well, as I mentioned previously, I tend to fall in the group that views the jailer and his plan more on the opportunistic rather than the galaxy brain planning. But that's not really my main concern today. Mm-hmm. Because in each and every one of the videos I watched and all the discussions I listened to, the same thing kept coming up. The jailer, as a character, is bad. And my take on that statement is, yeah, kind of is. It's kind of a stinker. a little uninspiring. Okay, there we go. That's my take. So, that got me thinking. How could the story team have presented the jailer and still keep the plot intact? That's the main goal here. We're not gonna break the plot. We're gonna keep the same story.
Right.
We're not gonna say like, oh, the freaking this and that. I'm just saying, that's the main goal. Same plot, fix the character. Okay, that's what we're doing. So that is the game that we're playing today. And first up, I asked this question on Twitter and Discord: how would you fix the jailer? And we got a lot of responses. So let's get to them.
Yes.
And I actually started with this one first. This was not the first response, but Kara, aka Zandara in the Discord and on Twitter, captured my feelings oh so well. So this is why I wanted to start with it. She says, I think if the jailer had the swagger and the smarminess of Sire Denathrius, he would have been much more compelling. The jailer has no awe to him. He's not really scary. His personality boils down to M bad guy. At least Denathrius made me feel angry, scared, like there was danger to mess with him. Shadowlands had the opportunity to be the weirdest, most out there setting for really unique characters. And we got the big ol' oafish bully. Was that the point? Someone can rise to leadership just by being a boring jerk and somehow get people on his side by lying to them about the thing their ego wants most? I guess you can consider that to be insidious in a way. Perhaps we experienced enough of that IRL in recent times that we're just over it and want fantastical bad guys in our fictional stories. So there you go. Maybe. Thank you very much, Kara, for that response, because that was a perfect response. Like, I was, yeah, captures it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You want to take the next one?
I sure do. So Dracora says, I'd have had it revealed at the end of Savannah's fight that the jailer was actually the real Primus, dominated into taking the fall for everything. The real antagonist turns out to be the guy we know as the Primus, whose actual name is Oval, and who posed as the rune carver just to mess with us. I'd probably have revealed it by having Carestria?
The Archon.
Archon or the world quest show up at the end of the sanctum and be like,
I believe it meant Winter Queen there.
Oh, he wrote Dracorish wrote WQ and my brain went immediately world quest. No, that's my Winter Queen. I am sorry, Winter Queen. I offended you. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I read it in world quest the first several times I read that.
My brain was so confused by, wait, why is he talking about world quest showing up? I'm so confused. What is Dracorish saying here? Let me try that whole thing over again. I'd probably have revealed it by having the Archon or the Winter Queen show up at the end of the sanctum and be like, yeah, that's not the brother we were talking about.
Could work. I feel like you'd have a whole lot of Dreadlord action going on with that one. I don't know. Lots of silliness. But, you know, just Dracorus. He loves his Dreadlords. Yeah, you love your Dreadlords. I understand. Yeah. All right. Well, next one up, we got Sage Kohler. Sage Kohler says the jailer is a first one.
Okay. I kind of like that.
He killed the others because he wanted to press reset and start the universe over. The Eternal Ones found out and imprisoned him since they didn't have the power to kill him. That's why he was able to pull on as many threads as possible to find a way out because he had a working knowledge of all of existence. I kind of like, yeah, that does feel at least a little bit better.
A little better.
Yeah.
Still makes it weird that they called him brother and everything. If he's a first one, is he a brother? But
probably just you'd have to change some of the dialogue around to be like,
yeah, and that's an easy fix. It'd feel a little brother, better, yeah.
Call him the jerk face.
And that works. Yeah. They totally call him that.
Mm-hmm. He's
kind of jerk face. He is. Burkhart says the jailer needed more time to cook, first of all. He is likely the only antagonist we gotten that has received almost zero buildup. Yes, totally agree. The Argus thing, we should have seen whispers in game or even caught some of it before Shadowlands. The other problem was that the player base was busy trying to figure out what Savannah's game plan was and not what the jailer was after. They needed to have portions more of what the jailer's plans actually were. At the end of the day, if they were planning to build a character worth all these secrets, we should have had a different kind of campaign delving into those kind of secrets.
Yeah, I very much agree with this.
Absolutely.
Because I was actually like, I gave just this whole exercise that we're going through today a whole crap ton of thought. And it feels like the jailer is what they're trying to do is they're like, hey, guys. You know, really, really, what movie was really good in 2018, 2019, probably when Shadowlands was first being bantered around in the office. Maybe even a little before that, because you could go a little bit before that, and this still works. Thanos. Thanos was great. They're like, let's make a Thanos. Yeah, you know what the Avengers and the MCU specifically did with Thanos? He was in like a crap ton of the movies, or at least referenced in a bunch of the movies.
There was buildup.
Yeah, there was lots of buildup. You actually got to see Thanos for the very first time in the very first Avengers in 2012. Lots of buildup there. So Burkhart is absolutely correct. He needed a lot more time in the pot, I guess. Whatever.
Right.
Something like that. All right, so next one. Celeste Raven says, it's the question I've been waiting for and actually have an idea how to answer. Have him be opportunistic instead of a mastermind or painting him as a mastermind. Have him be a charismatic liar who puts his allies against each other. A manipulator who pulls people in with lies and takes advantage of moments rather than creates them.
Dan, I really like where you're going with this one.
Because as we get into probably what we think, I think I'm right with you there, Celeste, so we'll definitely talk more about that in a minute.
Graphis says, I think an expansion or two with him in the background actually orchestrating things, so we really wanted to get our hands on him. Giving him a different personality, too, would have helped a lot, too, although he is clearly powerful. What if he wasn't physically so? I mean, I still want to know what he said to Savannah to get her so on his side, without question. that type of liar slash deceiver doesn't come across when he is just copy and paste from any other big bad we've had before.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need more time with him. Absolutely agree.
Yeah, I agree. All right, next one up, we got Aphrodon. Aphrodon, I think that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to
do my best there, just guess.
Okay, they say, my thoughts are short and simple. The jailer wants reality to burn, but he is just so one-dimensional that he isn't convincing or interesting in that role. By comparison, Christopher Nolan, Heath Ledger's version of the Joker, got the portrayal of his type of character spot on. As someone who wanted to unmake reality, the jailer needed to come across as an anarchist and a madman, like Ledger's version of the Joker did so well, rather than just being a run-of-the-mill bore. If the jailer had been what the Joker was in the Dark Knight trilogy, then it would have been a heck of a lot more interesting. Instead, the jailer is just plain dull.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah, and I very much agree because I will be using the same villain that you're referencing in some of my talking points today. So glad we're on the same page, everybody. So there you go.
Yes, Heath Ledger's version of Joker was amazing. Anyways, Jack says, there are two big issues with him to me. We don't know him. We have no real idea what his motivations are, what his plan is. He's just bad and spooky. Secondly, to make him more imposing, Blizz tied him to everything. The Burning Legion? His thing. The Lich King? Him. Why do I always have a hard time with this one? Karaz Dormu. For some reason, I always stumble on his name. Always. Apparently. Hogger? Yeah, why not? To, quote-unquote, fix him, I'd first tie him to Les. This doesn't feel like riding in between the raindrops of continuity. This feels like an outright reconstruction of the cosmology and lore we've known so far. Make him opportunistic. Sure, Argus shut down the Arbiter, but that was just a Hail Mary. Show us that moment where he regained power because of it. Next, make his presence known. It doesn't have to be like the Lich King, but show us him recruiting into his allies so we get our bearings and learn the mess we've been pulled into. Show him as cunning by making us his unwitting pawns as he tricks us into unlocking more of his power. Finally, I would show the impact of his cascading plans throughout the expansion. The veil between realms has been torn. Keep us busy by having to fix this. Mossworn incursions? The cult of the damned rising in power and becoming more visible back on Azeroth? Hell, have the elements in chaos. But if they're making this the biggest bad yet, we have to have broad-reaching consequences of his impact.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Jack managed to touch on a whole bunch of the points that we're going to be going over today. So,
yeah.
Well done. Well done. All right, Vanderlyle
says, I would have added
Warlords of Draenor, Lords of War style animated shorts that portray the jailer and his deceptive cunning in multiple scenes. It would be a four-part series with each one narrated by each of the Eternal Ones, like Morad did with Varian. Denathrius would give insight on how and why he joined the jailer along with the creation of the Lich King's armor. The Archon would show the story of the Forsworn becoming the Jailer's army, as well as the story behind the room in Torghast where you retrieve the rest of Uther's soul. The Winter Queen would show how Zoval was created alongside the other Eternal Ones and display them functioning in their roles as intended. The Primus would show Zoval's turn and how the Eternal Ones banished him to become the Jailer. I think that's a good point. Not that I'm going to complain too much about the shorts, because I really like the animated shorts. Particularly, I'm a big fan of the Bastion one, because that one's fan-freaking-tastic, the first one we got. I loved the delivery of the Denathrius one. That one was fabulous. It's just so good. And then, obviously, I love Maldraxxus, because Maldraxxus. And then, as much as I will say it's very hard to pick between which one I would toss out. Like, if any, I'm just gonna say they're all good because the freaking Ardenweald one with Aralon was fantastic too. And I know what they were trying to do there is they were trying to, you know, show us the different realms of the Shadowlands and give us an idea of that. But it totally neglected to show anything with
the jailer. Like, we had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's some of my points regarding this we'll touch on later, so I'm not going to get to it now. But in terms of the Lords of War style animated shorts, fantastic. Lords of War, Harbingers, Warbringers, like, they had, between that and the audio dramas they did back in Legion, they have so many fantastic ways they could have expanded on this story. It made us actually care more about him being a big bad that they didn't utilize, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. And I know that there's the pandemic and all, the pandemic, but...
Yeah, and part of it could be that. That's, I mean, we don't know.
But I don't think I'm going to blame the pandemic on all this, because I know how long it takes them to actually craft the story. Right. So that's what I'm gonna throw in there, is I'm not going to blame it all on that. Anyway. And you get the last one. There you go. It worked out.
I do get the last one. Yeah, we'll get to this stuff later. last but not least, Snorticus says, I would quote unquote change nothing and just add more to what we know about Zaval the person to fix those weaknesses in his portrayal. Show us a few cutscenes of young Zaval when he was a starry-eyed idealist, yet astute enough to know that his ideas might not be taken well by his brothers and sister. He sees that the first one's system is off and believes that they can work together to make it better. He first approaches Daddy D, the one he knows is prideful enough to get on board with making all of reality better, but tells him not to outright support him if he can't at least garner a little support from the others. In another cutscene, he approaches them, points out all the flaws, how it could be better, how they can make it better together, and is dismissed and eventually betrayed. The betrayal, the banishment, the runes carved into his flesh, turn an idealist into what we see now. He is still wrapped up in the backup plan that he set in motion before approaching the others, the opportunistic jailer that we saw described in last episode / Tally's explanation vid, but slowly over eons, the domination magic, the isolation, the betrayal, and the singular focus warp him. Maybe he was right in the first place. But now he is clearly in the wrong, willing to sacrifice anything and anyone just to see this idea through. And of course, his new reality has no room for those who betrayed him in the daring to think outside the box. There is room for this jailer within everything that we know about him, and it just fleshes out a bland, flat villain into one that is a little relatable and one that we can even feel empathy for.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, thank you so much, everybody, for all these submissions. These are fantastic.
Yes.
I didn't grab everything out of the Discord channel. There was a lot more discussion going on, but I just grabbed just the key discussion points, pretty much everyone's submissions. So seriously, thank you, everybody. This was fantastic. And I was not expecting so much, you know, interaction with all that we got. But it was great. Apparently, this was one of those topics that everyone was feeling a little, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to say it. My brain just went dead. It was just, I don't know. Maybe you can finish my sentence, Allie. I don't know what's going on.
A topic where people are feeling
passionate,
kind of passionate about, and all kind of in agreement that the jailer could use some work.
Yeah. Use some work. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now that we've heard from at least the fans in the Discord, now let us go ahead and jump into what you and I think there, Allie. So, like we said, now that we've heard from you, we're going to be going over the article, How to Write an Unforgettable Villain from Masterclass. So go to the Masterclass. Blah, blah, blah. You get the idea. Now, let us figure out how to turn our Mr. Freeze.
Let's kick some ice.
into wow. the Joker.
You didn't think I'd risk losing the battle for Gotham's soul in a fist fight with you. Oh, you need an ace in the hole. Mine's Harvey.
What did you do?
I took Gotham's White Knight, and I brought him down to our level. It wasn't hard. See, madness, as you know, is like gravity. All it takes is a little push.
Well, there we go.
that was fantastic. So
oh, he's such a good joker. Oh yeah, my heart.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the thing that I loved the most is I was doing some research and I came across, I was like looking for who are some of the worst villains, as in just awful, terrible, super lame. One of the first ones on the list, Mr. Freeze from Batman Mr. and Freeze Robin. Was, yeah.
He was pretty bad. It's true.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, pretty much on everyone's list of greatest villains of all time is the Joker from The Dark Knight. So I was like, yeah, let's go ahead and use two Batman villains as an example. So currently, our jailer is a little Mr. Freezy. Was saying things like, beautiful mortal, blah, blah, blah. So, here we go. So, going through this article, we're just going to hit all the main topics, the main bullet points, the main things, and we're going to talk about how we're going to figure it out. So, first thing, how do you actually make a good villain? As a matter of fact, I was listening to a little thing. One of the guys, he does, like, I think the Da Vinci Code series or whatever, Dan Brown. He was saying that, honestly, when you're writing a story and coming up with it, you should probably come up with the villain first. Because the villain is the one that's trying to do things in the background, trying to do their plan. And really, what the villain is doing is actually going to shape what the hero is going to do. So, you should come up with the villain first. Okay. So, and with that in mind, the first bullet point is strong connection to the hero. There we go. The article uses Voldemort and Harry Potter as an example, right?
Right.
But that's lame. We're not going to do that. Let's go with the classic.
It's not that lame. Come on.
Nah, we're going Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader.
Because obviously,
that's good too. There's much more of a connection there. There's Voldemort.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we left a scar on his forehead. Oh no. It's a child that didn't die.
No. No, we're going to go with, no, I am your father. That's way better. You know that's way
it
better.
It is better. Yeah, I have to agree.
Yeah, then Luke's going, no, we're Kevin. Well, he got his hand cut off. You can be emotional wherever
your impressions you got your hand. Tonight. It's good. It's good stuff.
Okay, so right off the bat, this is obviously a big issue for the jailer. Zero connection. We're like, we walked into this and we're like, who's this guy? Like, honestly, like if you were the most casual of casual players and you were just like, ooh, World of Warcraft, this looks fun. You load it up, you go through the little island scenario for your first few levels, then you go do Chromie time, but you're forced to go do Battle for Azeroth, and then you walk in and you're like, oh, who's this big bald man who just dropped this big cow person off a cliff? That's all you get.
And why is he showing his nipple so much?
Because we got nothing. So, right off the bat, how would you fix the jailer here? Mm-hmm. How would you make a connection?
A lot of people in Discord kind of already mentioned my big thing is introducing the jailer a lot. I have notes on my phone, so I'm looking at my phone.
Perfect.
introduce the jailer a lot sooner and his impact on events a lot sooner. Like, give us a chance to actually form a connection with him, to actually care about his villainy. Not just all of a sudden, here's this new character and he's to blame for everything. And like, we didn't get a chance to actually care about his villainy before it was dropped on us. It's like, here, it's villainy. We're like, okay. Wait, he did all these things?
Yeah.
But we're going to kill him? Like, already? Like, what? Yeah. Yeah. More time to cook. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the more time to cook. So, I actually went slightly different in my approach. I was like, okay, Blizzard, this is the way you're going to tell the story. This is how you're going to do it. So what I wanted to do is, the main thing that I wanted to do to introduce the jailer is, like, we'll talk more about it in a later point. Because I was like, okay, how does Hollywood do it, for example? Because sometimes they just drop a villain on your lap and you're like, who's this guy? Right? I mean, let's imagine Joker for a second. We all know Joker, right? But no one was expecting that Joker. Right? No one was expecting, like, when I was in the theater, right, and he walks into the room and he's doing the, ha, 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 oh, eh, oh, and they're just like, who's this guy? We're all, you know, all the mobsters are looking at him. And then his first introduction is, I'm going to make this pencil
disappear. Like, this is the first thing you get. And everyone's like,
right?
What the shit is this? You can do it. You can do this. You don't even necessarily have to let him cook. I mean, I think that is absolutely a fantastic way to do it. Because I probably, like, if I was in charge of the overarching story, I would have thrown more hits.
Right.
But it's like, okay, we're already stuck with this.
Libby agrees.
Libby agrees the trailer sucks. Okay. So we're stuck with what we got. We just got to fix Shadowlands,
right?
So I would have completely changed the Ma intro story. And we'll get more into that. But basically, you meet the jailer very soon in my version, and you interact with him a lot. It's not this, I'm going to drop the Bane off a cliff and you're going to think I'm scary. I don't know.
I'm a big bad guy. No. It'd actually make us feel like the dread and the doom and gloom from him.
Yeah, well, in my version, my version of the jailer doesn't look like the jailer today. He's right. Much more like a Joker or just a almost like maybe a Denathrius. Denathrius is fine if you want to make him big and imposing, but got that silkiness to him. Like, you know what I mean? He was the arbiter after all. You know, throw some little pizzazz in there. Throw something interesting in there.
Some pizzazz. Give him some charisma.
Yeah, some charisma. I mean, so, and I definitely will go more into this because I was thinking about it. It's like, okay, he was the arbiter. Play with that, right?
Right.
If you're the arbiter, what can you do? You can, in a moment, and you just keep the same cutscene and get to the Orbos and blah, blah, blah. Talked about the arbiter and it says, in a moment, you know everything about a soul where you literally know everything they ever did, all their good deeds, all their bads. You know, you can weigh them in literally in an instant. Let the jailer keep that power. He knows exactly who you are and he knows how to mess with you because of it. So that is one of the main
things. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the strong connection to the hero is I would actually have you meet him almost immediately when you first get to the Maw. And he seems like an okay guy because one of the main things that I thought was a huge failing, in my opinion, was you get to the Maw and the jailer is already running around. He's like throwing cows off cliffs. And it's just it's weird. And he's like, what is going on? Because in all of the promotional videos and everything like that, what was the jailer? He was locked up.
Right.
Right. He's not locked up. Like, when's the last time this guy locked up? Like, no, he's up and running around doing things. I don't know. I think it would be a whole lot of fun to stick with the MO of our heroes. No, show up. The jailer, he's locked up, but he convinces you because he knows everything to set him free. So pull a Gul'dan from Warlords of Draenor. Make that connection with your hero. And you're like, oh, crap, what did I freaking do? And then if you really want to mess with you, have Sylvanas walk in the room and say, thanks, buddy. No, this is why we brought you here. Cheers. So
that would be a fun twist.
Yeah. So I just like the idea. It's, you know, throw in some there. Oh, we needed the Heart of Azeroth to break the chains. Whatever you freaking wanted to do. You know, Sylvanas does her whole thing. Blah, blah, blah. She burns a tree. She escapes through the freaking sky hole. Sky hole. That sounds funny. And then we're like, chase her down. And then we show up. The jailer's like, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. These freaking bastards, they locked me down here eons ago. And then, you know, he convinces you. So there you go. That's my first thing. There's your connection to the hero. Is you're the idiot who let him out. I mean, we let Gul'dan out. Huh? Come on.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing that I don't know. Friggin' Warcraft has this weird thing about is they're like, hey, let's make him big and bad and metal and brah, beefcake. No, Gul'dan's kind of a cool villain. Like, we all love to hate him. He's a total jerk. Friggin' hate that guy. But he's like a weird, creepy, cripply old orc. Like, you know, like, it's great. Go with that aesthetic. It's fantastic. All right. I think we've beaten the strong connection to a hero into the dirt here. The next one. Next one here. Clear morality. Okay, clear morality. And it doesn't necessarily have to be good morality. Obviously, this is a villain. You just need to know what their morality is. Okay. So the example given here is Captain Beatty from Fahrenheit 451. They believed that burning books was right because books can lead people to reject the stability of a life of conformity. Okay? So as you can see, they have a strong sense of morality. You just happen to think they're wrong, right? Okay? Now, this bullet point, in my opinion, used to be a much better fit for the jailer when it was believed that his plan was to recreate reality to bring about freedom of choice, right? Turned out, though, that's what he told Sylvanas, and that wasn't true. So, honestly, I kind of wish they would have stuck with that, but they're like, no, everyone's going to serve me. And it just actually made the character even worse, in my opinion. Anyway, so, the additional information of him wanting to remake reality just to be in charge kind of just feels cheap and lame to me. So, how would you fix this issue? What do you think the, you know, Zoval's morality should be?
Well, I think it would have helped to know, to actually get that clear morality, like to actually know where he stands. You know, okay, he wants to remake reality. Give us an idea of what that reality is. Like, paint that picture for us. And why we should fear it, why we don't want him to remake this reality. Like, so we can know it's a bad reality. We just want to know he wants to make reality and he wants to be in charge of it. Like, okay, what's this reality going to be like? Like, how bad is he? How bad is this going to get?
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. So with this one, I'm just kind of stick with my like very kind of trickstery, kind of like messing with you, you know. You know, just kind of like, he's a very good looking dude almost, but you know, he'd be locked in the dark for a long time. So it'll probably make him nice and pale. <'Cause, you know>. Anyway, so with this clear morality, I actually agree with you. You need to know what his plan was. And I think what you could have done, and obviously I haven't fleshed this out completely because I'm not a game designer. I'm not actually, you know, doing the level, but anyway, imagine, if you will, that the jailer, in order to convince you, maybe he's just some dude locked up. You don't walk up in there and just go like, oh, there's a trapped man. Let's let him out. Right? No, maybe he's a quest giver. Maybe he has a little cutscene. Maybe he explains to you what's going on. Maybe he explains to you who his brothers and sisters were or why he was locked down here. And you start feeling that sympathy for him. And you realize that, oh, this guy was done wrong. They did him dirty. Right. He got locked down here for no reason. So you start getting that idea. And then in those cutscenes and that explanation, maybe he can say something along the lines of, you know, explain where reality is so flawed. You know, explain what he wanted to do, how he wanted to fix it. And yeah, even maybe even have him admit that it was extreme and drastic. And he even kind of gets why his, you know, his brothers and sisters did this to him. But he still feels wronged by it and still needs to fix it because reality is still completely messed up. So anyway, that's where how I want to create that clear morality. Really explain what the goal is. Explain even how Sylvanas was convinced, because we had that wonderful cutscene, you know, episode 9. We covered it completely and we're like, oh, that was a great cutscene. We freaking love it. You know, where she was explaining, you know, from the very moment of our from our first breath until we die. And then she's like, we never have choice, right? Really go with that. Like, really, you keep going with that. Like, I think, because I was, like, super excited for the story when I was seeing that cutscene. Because I was like, oh, my gosh, where were they going to go with this? And then the answer was nowhere.
Well, and it seems like on one hand that they've been trying to keep their cards hidden to, you know, I don't know, create mystery and intrigue and, oh, we don't know what's going to happen. But you have to show us enough to make us want to care more.
Yeah.
Like your long game, if it gets too long, it doesn't work as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I totally understand that maybe the patch cycle has been part of the problem that we were like,
and that could be, and it could have, you know, we don't know if they, you know, they've cut out content here and there and then splice things together to make it, you know, the story work well enough. Like, we don't know that behind the scene, the information. So that could very well be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't really know. And I think it was Burkhart that said it as well, where someone, I'm sorry, someone said that we were all focused on Sylvanas. I'm like, oh, what's Sylvanas' plan? What's Sylvanas doing? And then we're like, who's this guy? excuse me, who are you? So this right. big scary guy in the background, he's like, pay attention to me. And Sylvanas is like, nah, I'm still here. Because it makes sense. There's a reason we care about Sylvanas. She's been around a long time. We're invested in the character. We care about the character. So obviously we're gonna care what's going on with Sylvanas. So makes sense to me that we're paying attention to the character that we care about and we're ignoring the character that we know nothing about. And you've given us no reason to care about him either. So anyway, I think that covers it for that bullet point. And yeah. Here we go. I think the next one is a good one. A good one. So, and I actually think this one is okay. So the next bullet point is a worthy opponent. The example given was Moriarty versus Sherlock Holmes. He is just as much of a genius as Sherlock. See, this adds in the credible threat that he may actually win as well. One other point it made as well was that the fact that you shouldn't make your villain so powerful that only random chance could defeat them. The jailer is obviously an issue since they're working to hit the reset button on reality. So the only issue with the character isn't that he's not powerful enough. In fact, he may be too powerful and will likely need a lot of help from outside forces to make it even seem possible. Kind of the example is like how the Titans had to help us during the Argus encounter, which they kind of made it some kind of sense there because all the Titans were going like, heroes, here's some help. Now, what do you think about this problem and how would you fix it if you think it needs fixing?
I think it does. I hesitate to answer that fully because we don't know the full story yet and what's going to happen after, you know, we take down the jailer and, you know, final cinematic, that kind of thing. Because I do agree, like, on one hand, like, he would have to be super powerful to remake all of, you know, freaking reality, right? And it's true, you know, making him so powerful that it's, you know, near impossible to beat him, like, that's an issue. And it would have been nice if they laid out who was going to help us, or I don't know if I want to say a weakness that we can exploit, but something. Having said that, the first time he was imprisoned, the Eternal Ones, the other Pantheon people imprisoned him. So maybe this time the combination of us and our powers, you know, because we're the amazing champions and helping them, maybe we can, in fact, take him down. And maybe that's the plan, is maybe some post-traumatic thing that explains how they're going to help us actually defeat him in the end. I don't know. So it's hard to really know how I want to answer this without knowing what they're planning for the end. But I agree, like, it does. It felt like we were going to need help from outside forces, and it would be nice to know who or when or how.
Yeah. From my understanding is we're not going to know what the end of the jailer is or how we're going right. to defeat him until 9.2 actually goes live, because my bet is they're not doing any raid testing for the jailer fight. They're trying to keep that one.
Yeah. I think the last three I read somewhere, the last three are going to be internal.
Mm-hmm. And that is the Lords of Dread, the Constellar. I don't remember its name, but anyway, it's the dominated Constellar and obviously the Jailer. It's evolved.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I kind of like this one is probably the only point where they managed to do an okay job, because the Jailer is imposing and dangerous, and, you know, like you said, he's trying to remake freaking reality, and now, you know, he's going to the sepulcher of the first ones, and we're like, oh, okay, this seems like a big freaking deal. But yeah, I don't know, that's I actually would agree, other than make it, I mean, if we're going with my version of the jailer, the only way I would make him a worthy opponent is just really emphasizing the fact that the jailer knows literally everything about you and can exploit you in any freaking way possible, because he was the arbiter. And I think that would be a fun way to really drive home the fact that it's like, yeah, they just copied me. That's a me up there. they just made a me. So, yeah, I think that would be pretty cool to create that, like, you know,
I don't know, you probably even create some raiding encounters around that where it's like the jailer is, you know, he's like learning and almost using your abilities against you and things like that. Yeah, he just knows how to mess with you. I don't know. You can do some fun things. I'm not a game designer, but I think there's something there. It just sounds cool.
It does. I'll give you that.
All right. Well, since we don't have a ton to talk about worthy opponent, we're going to jump into compelling backstory. This is a big stinker for the jailer. Because the example provided here was Gollum from the Lord of the Rings and how he used to be pretty much a hobbit long ago. Yeah. Oh, he's like, oh, he wants the ring. It's his birthday, right? So this one falls more on its face than strong connection to the hero, because at least we live in reality. We don't want it remade.
True.
Right now, the only backstory we've received about the jailer is that he told the other Eternal Ones about his plan and he got locked up in the Maw for it. That's it. So, is there a backstory that you could give the jailer to possibly fix some of the other issues we've covered, even the morality, possibly?
Yeah, I can't think of really a specific backstory in my brain, just more of a general, I feel like we need more backstory for all of the Pantheon of Death and Shadowlands in general. I enjoy the story we've gotten so far, but there was room for so much more, because the whole concept of the Shadowlands and the Pantheon of Death and the Arbiter and what they're doing, it's kind of a big deal and kind of changed how a lot of us see certain aspects of the lore. Like, going back a ways now. I mean, we're all hoping to get a lot more story about the Shadowlands in Gwenmore out of the Shadowlands book, and then didn't get that. So I feel like there was just room for so much more story. And again, it's hard to know if it's more time would have helped, and, you know, having COVID and that kind of thing. But I do like the idea of maybe actually getting a chance to see the jailer in his Arbiter form. And what that was like, and see him in action with the Arbiter. And, you know, someone mentioned, you know, watching him actually like change his mind about how he views the Shadowlands and actually getting to see his thought process and see him change, like, just to care more about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if we're going to keep going along with my version of the jailer so far, which I've been having fun with, I'm trying to tweak it and figure out how I would, you know, introduce this if I was a writer on the team, which I never will be, and that's okay. So my version of the backstory, and I wanted to, again, you know, emphasize on his role as the Arbiter. Okay, we don't need too much of an explanation where it's like the first ones that came in, they set up all these systems and blah, 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 boom, you're the Arbiter. Like, okay, that's where he came from. But what was it like being the Arbiter? What is it like to be keep seeing this constant just stream of souls and just constantly seeing over and over and over how messed up reality can actually be? Yeah. So give him that kind of like that empathy, you know, almost kind of like almost want to root for the jailer for a little bit. You know what I mean? Just like. Like, you know, as you know, going back to my little intro scenario that I was talking about where, you know, you're the moron who let him free, right? Why not? We've done it a whole bunch of times already. Kind of fits our characters. Have him explain, like, you know, talk about all of the different souls over and over and over, where it's like, you know, they're born and snuffed out in a moment. And they're and just talk about all the suffering that he witnessed over the eons of being an Arbiter, and just explain how it drains you. Like, you know, it's like, talk about like a good example is, you know, someone working in the ICU right now during a pandemic. I can't even imagine that. Now imagine seeing all of the suffering of all of reality being witnessed to you in a constant stream. And you can't tell me that you wouldn't want to change some things. Like, I think you could easily make an argument saying that, yeah, Arbiter got disillusioned and realized that things needed to be changed. And sadly, things needed to be disrupted a lot to change it. And everyone disagreed. And he's like, yeah, I get it. They're not seeing what I'm seeing. You know, friggin' the
the Winter Queen is all worried about the going back and forth between this and that, blah, 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 blah. The, you know, the Primus is just protecting the Shadowlands. Like, he's not seeing all this information from coming in from reality. And then the Archon, don't even get me started on the Archon. It's like, she's so rigid in her ways, you don't want to start having the conversation. So that's kind of my take. And then if you were to keep going down that route, you could see how Denathrius would eventually be the one that was turned as well. All right. So if you're talking about, you know, you got this day in and day out of seeing all the souls, all the good and the bad, all the souls, just, you know, the Arbiter sees it all, realizes that things need to change. So there's your backstory. You could even add a little bit more to Denathrius's backstory and say, well, of course it would be Denathrius that would eventually turn around and be persuaded by him, because he gets to see some of the worst souls coming through Revendreth. So he would probably eventually say, yeah, things are kind of messed up. You don't get souls like these in a perfectly hunky-dory universe. So there you go. Again, that's how I would give him a decent backstory. Do you agree?
I do agree. That's good.
All right. Okay, so our last little bullet point in just kind of like this discussion, we got some more stuff to talk about. This is just some of the early points of what makes a great villain. The next one is villains should be fun, okay? Here, the example is Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs. That character's personality and charm just gives you so much to love to hate.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Creepy.
Yeah.
So, right now, it's yet to be seen if the jailer will be at least a fun raid fight. But he never seemed to have a presence about him that anyone enjoyed, because I sure didn't. You usually can't even understand him. The dude needs subtitles. So, using the example so far, how would you write a character to make him more fun?
I struggle with this one at first, but through the course of this episode, I've been kind of brainstorming this a bit more, and my favorite villains do have that charm. They're charismatic. Like, those are the ones I feel drawn to and I'm intrigued by. And so the more I think about it and visualize it, especially in the terms of Warcraft, I rather like the one you're coming up with. I like the thought of making him a little more swarmy, a little more, you know, appealing. And yeah, that, you know, a little more daddy D into the bad guy jailerness, if you will.
Yeah, you could just have him super cryptic and weird and creepy and have him say things like Ilganoth, you know, say random things in that kind of, you know, nice, sexy tones and just be like, burr, 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 burr. And you'd be like, what the heck?
That
was
would
that?
Work for me.
And that you're would like, work for me. What did he just say? And then, you know, later realize that, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. You know, and you could even easily play off of that, you know, kind of like how like Ashara, you know, messing with us, talking about how we drowned ourselves in the circle of stars and how the King of Diamonds right. was made upon. And we're like, oh, snap. Throw a couple of those in there. And it's, you know, especially like the one that we all know.
The cunning ones kneel before six masters, but serve only one.
You know, have him say something like that because he knows about them, right? Just mess with us. I just thought that would be fun.
That'd be great.
All right. So we got some tips. Got some tips and tricks if you are interested in writing your own great villain. So now that we know what makes a great villain, let's go over the tips and tricks from the masterclass, right? So first one, choose a real life model. Okay. You know, as they say, write what you know. So the tip might come off as not exactly applicable at first, but remember, this cosmic giant asshat model is just a very large gray-skinned human. Why can't we slap some additional humanity on the character and by using a real-life example? So, do you have an example for who you would base your version of the jailer off of?
I'm struggling with these, and I don't think I'd be great at writing a villain. So, when you talk about real-life model here, are you talking like physical features? Or are you talking more just a real life person in general?
Just a real life person, characteristics and whatnot. As someone that you would possibly use as a as an example. And I'll be honest. I'll just give my answer. I don't have a specific one, but it would be like any kind of super obnoxiously just like, how did you fall for this charismatic cult leader? Like,
see, for your, especially for your example of the jailer, that works really, really well. For some reason, and my brain hasn't been able to let go of this point since I started brainstorming this, I keep going back to Hitler.
I mean, sure.
Because, like...
He was a charismatic asshole, better. Too.
But exactly, like for those who were his followers, like, he was charismatic and everything, and, you know, you had a better... Well... A lot of people had a better idea of his plan and his long-term plans even. And you knew him, you got to know like where he came from and his background and his, you know, various issues and things and thoughts and stuff. And so you have that, which was more than what we got with the jailer. And Hitler did horrible, horrible things, which... If the jailer is to blame for so many things, you know, you have that, you know, thing. So, but Hitler felt more evil and doom, and the horrible things felt more horrible, I guess. I don't know where I'm going with this, but for some reason, that's where my brain keeps going to.
Yeah. I mean, it does work because you can create some horrible inspiring leader. I mean, if you want to go for a slightly less awful example, but still really bad, you can go like Mussolini, still a fascist, you know, jerkwad, super charismatic, making those like kind of like speeches and crap like that. And if it feels like it fits, especially for someone as awful as this person is supposed to be. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like I was thinking, I was like, God, if I were to like, what was that guy's name? Freaking David Koresh or people like that. I don't freaking know. Like Jonestown. He picked the Jonestown crap. You know, that kind of stuff is what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, talks a whole bunch of people into doing this awful thing just because it's like, hey, this is what's going on. This is what they tell you that's going on, everybody. Like, the fact that he was able to convince Sylvanas to join his side, I mean, I feel like you have to be very charismatic or at the very least just got something over on her. Like, I still don't know why Sylvanas really wanted to join sides. Doesn't make any sense. So
not really.
So hopefully we get at least somewhat of an explanation there. Just something of an explanation. So let's go ahead and move on to the next one. Put yourself in their shoes. Like, so a good villain is someone that can understand that. Try again. A good villain is someone that you can understand their motives, motivations, whatever. And maybe even see yourself behaving similarly if you were put in the same situation. So how could you write the jailer to seem plausible and possibly relatable?
Why? Give the why. Not just, I want to remake reality. Why? I want to be in charge. Like, no. Like, tell us why you think reality needs to be broken and whatever you're trying to do. Like, why are you remaking it? Like, give your speeches. Tell why. Like, because, I mean, if... And I also would probably change his motivations a little bit, but that doesn't make him the jailer. But maybe have his ultimate motivation of just, he just wants to be in charge. That could be a final thing, whatever. But like, you know, maybe let us see, you know, going back to your Sylvanas thing, right, that you just mentioned. How did he convince her? How did he convince her that it was broken and need to be fixed? And he can go into his charming ways of why the system is broken and he wants to bring down the man, you know, the system and all of that, and could pull people to his side with that.
Yeah. That's
because who doesn't like to bring down the man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because the whole thing with the jailer right now, it just feels like it. There's no way in hell this dope could convince Sylvanas, right? I mean, we got Uther over here saying the jailer is super cunningly blah blah blah, deceptively cunning. He said deceptively cunning, and we're like I know I watched the novel reaction video of the cutscene where Uther said that, and he liked the cutscene. He's like, the cutscene is great, but when Uther's like, the jailer is deceptively cunning, he paused it and went, really?
Well, maybe when he was a Forsworn, he saw things that we haven't seen.
And again, show it.
We don't know. Yeah, show us.
As the saying goes, show, don't tell. Show him being deceptively cunning. Show us messing with us. Even put our character in the mix, like my little example, of being deceived. You know, actually make us feel like, oh, this guy does mess with us. Like, he knows what's going on. I mean, that was one of the things that I really liked about, if you want to rewind all the way to 8.3, where Rathian was like, N'Zoth will come for you here. Right. And it's like, yeah, that's messed up. So, yeah, you don't necessarily have to say that the jailer can mind control or control you specifically, even though I guess he can with domination magic. But, yeah, don't do it that way. Also, make it more subtle and creepy and like, this guy's like up in my head where you just want to turn and yell at him, get out of my head. Right? You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So,
well, and they could have even made us, it would take some fancy writing, but make us feel bad that he was chained up.
Yeah.
That his brothers and sisters put him in the maw and locked him up. Like, make us feel bad for him and actually care.
Yeah. When I was going through this whole thing, I'll use another Blizzard example, actually. I think a fantastic version of what I was kind of thinking of for the jailer was actually right out of Diablo 2. So in Diablo 2, if you haven't played it, spoilers, if you're still working through the story, so like give me like 30 seconds. Okay. See you in 30 seconds. Anyway, what actually happens is there is a dude named Marius that is following around the Dark Wanderer. And at one point they go down into there's like a big crypt, right? Like underneath the desert, it's in the desert level. And Marius, he's just a random dude. He sees some dude like tied up, chained up on this big thing. And he's just like old and decrepit and withered. And he's just looking at him and he's just like saying, help me over and over. And Marius is like, oh crap, I gotta help this guy. Like, something's going on. So he runs over and he pulls the soul stone out of his chest. He accidentally let Bale out. Oops. Oh. So there you go. Do something a little bit more like that. I mean, obviously have him deceive us, mess with us, like have him be a quest giver, right? I think that would be cool if you didn't even know that this was the jailer, or maybe you did and just freaking force us down a bit, because I mean, our character's idiots. We'll do anything for a loot. So yeah. And then if I were to say, to go back to the little bullet point of put myself in the shoes, I think I would just really emphasize the idea that the jailer playing the role of the arbiter just got so disillusioned of reality that he's like, nope, sorry, things got to change. And putting myself in the shoes, I might go, yeah, I think it does. Things are messed up. So there you go. That's how I would do it. Okay, now here's one that we've kind of been talking about a lot. Consider their motivation. What would the jailer do? And why do they want to do it? If that's what's going on? And right now the answer is, I have no freaking clue what their real motivation is, other than I want to be in charge. Why? It's just...
Well, and sometimes I wonder, like, just dropping on us, he wants to remake reality. I think the mental concept of remaking reality, sometimes I wonder if that is something that's not tangible to us, like something we can't... I mean, we can wonder what it could be and what it would be like, but I feel like that's a very large concept, just remaking the concept of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we've experienced in ourselves, in our lives, whatever. Because, I mean, in kind of a way with the pandemic on a very minute scale. But, you know what I mean? Like, there's just that scale. Concept of... Right. Like, for us, like, we only knew, like, a small section of the lore in a way. And then all of a sudden with Shadowlands, it has expanded that. Because all of a sudden the cosmos are expanded, right? We're getting different... cosmology maps. We're learning more things about the different potential pantheons and all this other stuff. And all of a sudden, this world has gotten so much bigger because this universe has gotten so much bigger. And so just all of that has been so big to wrap our heads around and just to throw in there and remake reality. Like, what is going on? What?
I feel like Jim right now. What is going on?
Yeah, just like that too. It's just it. So I don't know how to fix that, but maybe the whole concept of let us know reality. He's gonna make reality into, make us fear that reality, or something like give us more of something we can wrap our heads around, and so we can process what he's doing and what his motivation is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'll actually like do a throwback to our little episode 9, where we were talking about Sylvanas wanting to fix the concept of free will. I remember one of the main things I was doing was, even if she pulls off her plan, whatever it is it even going to work? Like,
right.
Like, if you don't believe in the concept of free will, tweaking reality, what? Like, you're still running into the inherent issue of you can't choose to be born, right? So, I mean, there's a whole lots of things in there where you're just like, I don't know how you would fix that problem there. So you kind of have to ask yourself, okay, what is their motivation? And it seemed pretty cool. They're like, oh, we wanted to rewrite the rules of reality. I mean, that's what Sylvanas was going on about, because when she was like, but with the jailer, we can fix it, or some crap like that. I think you could do that. You could pull it off. But then to just have all that, I don't necessarily know if it was a swerve, but it really seemed, felt like a little bit of a swerve. But he's like, everyone's going to serve me. And that's like,
right.
Okay. I mean, at the very least, maybe we could know that that was his plan all along. So it didn't feel like a swerve to us and Sylvanas. And like, we just, our characters are like, yeah, he's been like, this has been his plan. You weren't paying attention.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be fun if we just, and maybe if, as we're messing with the jailer here for a second, let's take a tiny little detour. I think it's okay, Blizzard. It's been about 3 to 4 years since you've been doing this story, possibly even longer. You can tell us what Sylvanas's whole story is now.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
There's a lot of missing pieces, and we're still kind of scratching our head going like, okay, wait, okay, let's... Okay, stop me. Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, Blizzard, correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, so she threw herself off of Ice Crown, supposedly met the jailer, had a little bit of a tweak of personality, and then started doing a whole bunch of big, mean, nasty things and killing a lot of people to send them all to the Maw. Kinda. Or no, not yet. Oh, wait, no. No, okay. No, but wait. She was doing what now? Because she was different. She was doing the whole Valkyrie thing? Okay, okay. That's it. No, okay, so that was Cataclysm. Okay, what was she doing to Miss? Kind of nothing. And then we're like, wait, okay, Warlord's Draenor. I mean, but no, she's not really there. It's a Legion. Okay. Okay, we're in Legion. Okay, she talked to Helya. Why? Okay. And Muzala, he, the thing, talked to Vol'jin.
And then, the Whisper, yeah.
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 And then Sylvanas is War Chief now. Cool. I mean, we were all like, there's a lot of people that were like, where's Sylvanas? There's a lot of people on Twitter that they love freaking Sylvanas. That's great. Okay. And okay, so that was Legion. What was it, the Whispers with Helya? You can just tell us. It's fine. It's been long enough.
I could be wrong, but I'm guessing that's what the Sylvanas novel is going to be doing, is filling in the gaps. I'm hoping so.
I hope so.
I have faith in Christy Golden. And I'm going to keep that faith.
And okay, small gripe. It's not a gripe for me. It's not a gripe for me. I'm going to read the book. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to say yay. Okay. Small gripe for those who aren't going to read the book. How are they going to know?
Yeah. And that is. Like, for people like you and me who read these books, like, it's not a big deal for us. But there are people who, one of their big things with Warcraft in general is they don't want to go outside the game for the story.
Yeah, or at least if they're going to go outside the game to watch, to see the story, at least make it easy, like a 2-minute YouTube video or something.
I can read a whole novel.
Or the audio drama. The Legion audio dramas are so good.
They really are.
And they're so well done. I had to listen in again to, you know, get ready for my show, and I was just like, oh, this is so good. I really wish they had done some for Shadowlands. It would have done such good things for this expansion.
Yeah. Honestly, the Legion, the first one was pretty good. The one with freaking Kill Jaden and freaking Gul'dan. I love the way he kept going, that wasn't me! Right, that was great.
Yeah.
But the way the Thousand Years of War, that was great.
Ooh, that was, it was so good. So good.
So anyway, there's my little detour. I'm just saying, hey, Blizzard, it's been long enough. You can tell us. Just tell us. Like maybe I've read like a Final Fantasy 14 style 13 minute cutscene. Just do it. Just freaking tell the story. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up our final little writing tips for making a great villain. And this honestly was the inspiration for me changing the entire starting scenario, which was introduce a villain with a bang. This tip is something I've given a lot of thought to. And I think this is the thing that needs the most work. Because seriously, our introduction to the jailer was lame. So I'll just say, how can we rework this intro scenario to better introduce the jailer rather than our first glimpse of him saying pitiful mortal and dropping Bane off of a cliff? Because yeah.
I actually want to hear yours first because I'm dying to hear this.
Well, I mean, honestly, I did the opposite of Barry the lead. And I've been talking about it the whole time because this was kind of the main, you know, I would say this tip is what drove a lot of my thinking behind it. So you get the idea. So I wanted to change the entire character of the jailer to make him be a charismatic, almost Gul'dan-like. Gul'dan's a giant jerk, but take Gul'dan as an aesthetic, like just like kind of like crippled all like messed up looking dude. But like, just make him super powerful, like magic and stuff like that. I mean, I could probably bench more than Khadgar, but he'd kick the crap out of me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Cast two spells and I'd be all down. So go with that. You don't need to make every single person look like they're jacked. All right. So that's my first start. Make him kind of old and decrepit. And the reason I go with this aesthetic is he's been chained down in the maw for eons. You ever heard of atrophy?
Right, right.
I mean, yeah, okay. He's like a robot or whatever. Freaky. I don't know what he is. I did the whole, what is it? The prototype pantheon that we talked about like two episodes ago or something. That's probably one of him. Like he probably got just created and spit out of Zareth Mortis. So maybe, I mean, I don't know. He's like.
But Jin, we don't know when he was broken out, and time's not a construct of the Shadowlands. So really, he could have been broken out like forever ago and built up his muscles and stuff. We don't know. I feel sometimes like this whole time is not a construct of the, I keep wanting to say pandemic, because that's my phrase in my, you know, offline life. time not being construct of the Shadowlands. I feel sometimes like that was their way to try to give this story without having to weave it into the timeline as we know it.
Probably. That's what it feels like. Yeah, so anyways.
Just like the stupid ropes.
Yeah. So anyways, that's my main thing. Make him just a very charismatic, kind of deceptively cunning. Keep Uther's line, but make him deceptively cunning, right? And then just, I don't know, just kind of go with what I was talking about. You know, really lean into the whole Arbiter vibe where he just knows everything about you. Like, in fact, if you're going to introduce a villain with a bang, like, I thought it would be fun where if you jump into, like, okay, let's go with the whole thing. You're on Ice Crown, you put together the helm, and you go in. Oh, you're in the Maw now. Okay, let's make it fun. Make it creepy. Let's make it almost like a Resident Evil game for a moment here. Oh, you're alone. Wait, I just jumped in with a whole bunch of people. Why am I alone now? Start messing with your heads, because it's like, okay, almost. I mean, you think about it, the Maw should have been, in my opinion, way creepier than it was. It just kind of was like a barren, boring landscape. Looked like you were in the set of Mad Max Fury Road without the cool characters. Okay, so anyways, you show up alone. Okay, why are you alone? All right, well, you go through the whole thing. You have to, you know, you, that's like one of the first characters that you run across. I don't necessarily know.
let's just say, oh, it's the spirit of Varian, and he blames you for his death. Okay, let's go ahead and switch it around. Okay, you're playing a Horde. Okay, it's the spirit of Vol'jin. He blames you for his death, and he starts attacking you. Just so you know, these are just figments. These aren't really the souls of them, but the Arbiter knows. Sorry, the Arbiter, I keep using that. The Jailer knows everything about you. He's seen all of it. So take all of those moments in history and just use them against you. And then finally, since it's one of those characters that at this point, basically everyone should know who they are, have Varrok Sarfang show up and get pissed at you and attack you. Again, it's not really him. It's Figment. The Jailer's messing with you. Okay, it's not really him. So you can have all those cameos, but you know, just say, that wasn't really them. He was messing with your head. And then eventually, when you come to, you'll find, you have done some terrible, horrible things. You've released the Jailer. And then it comes to find out that, yeah, when you released him, you did release the chains, but you let him go. But this was all like a figment of your mind that he was messing with. You know, this entire dream hellscape that he created in your head. It's not really what it looked like. And then when you wake up, you see Sylvanas is with him. And it's like, oh, hey, thanks for letting him free. There he is. And then this is where I had to obviously do this. And then Jaina busts in and she rescues your ass. Because she was suspended down there. Like I said, don't change the story. And then Jaina rescues you and then you got to go rescue everyone else. And then bada bing, bada boom. There you go. That's how I would do it. You introduce him as this really creepy dude that can mess with your head, get you to do whatever he wants you to do. And then there you go. And then obviously, since Jaina is the most powerful person that got captured, have her be the one to show up and break you out. Because she's the one that can teleport. So it's just like she teleports you out of there, basically. And she says, like, no, we got to get the heck out of here. Right. So that's how I would do it.
Mine has some similar parts. So what I kind of concocted was you go to the Ma, but for some reason you get separated. Maybe Ma Storm pulls you apart or something. I don't know. But I thought about it for a minute. And some of the moments where I actually cared about a villain in this game and it actually evoked emotions in me immediately was Arthas, because Arthas is amazing. But so, you know, when he's a Lich King and you're in Wrath and you're questing and that one part where you die and you're going back to your body and all of a sudden he's there in the, you know, shadowy realm while you're running back to your body and he's there talking and he kills you when you get close. Like that moment. And that moment also, again, with Lich King in Halls of Reflection, when you're having to run away from him as he's chasing you down, and that feeling of, like, at least the first time you do it, like just that feeling of dread that he's coming, you know? And so something about having to run for your life in the Maw and actually also make it a little more not just annoying because it has so much trash, but have it actually be more scary and more challenging. Not just with the amount of trash. And then for some reason, he captures you. The Jailer captures you. And when he catches up to you, he messes with your head. And in my brain, I was picturing some kind of visions or something where, you know, for some reason, he fills your head with visions of like what he has done in the past with all these things because he did everything. So get visions of what he's done in the past. Maybe not point blank, like I did these things, but you know, in like a mystery kind of way or something. I'm not a writer. There's a reason for that. But something like that. And then, so we have an idea of what he's done. Use these visions to give us an idea of his power, of what he's capable of. And then use these visions to give us an idea of the world or, you know, the reality he wants to make. Like use that to give us just a much more idea of what's going on. He can mess with our head, kind of almost like old god fashion style of messing with our heads, right? And then I haven't figured this all out yet. He gets called away and Jaina and Bolvar save us. That's not detailed, but that's kind of something like what I was thinking. Just use that opportunity to make us fear him.
Yeah, I think that totally makes sense. I think we were kind of going down the same path, at least a little bit. You know, just actually introduce him in a manner that makes him seem scary and imposing, not just
Mr. Nipple Man.
Right. And just it still baffles me that it was just all of a sudden, hey, here's this guy. He's done everything. You should fear him. Go fight him. It's fine. Just go fight him.
It's like they put this guy up on a hill and they're like, look, he's scary. Aren't you scared? He's really scary. And you're like, no, not really. Like, have you seen Yogg-Saron? Even with those like crazy little like nine polygons right. that he is, that dude's creepy as crap.
Yeah.
He's got the freaking little mouths everywhere. That's creepy.
And why is a jailer wearing dressed armor? What is going on? I'm frustrated. Like, don't get me wrong. I've enjoyed Shadowlands. I've enjoyed the story. I've enjoyed getting to see this expanded glimpse of the entire universe beyond what our knowledge was and expanding our minds onto what it could be with the rest of the cosmology. I've enjoyed it. It's great. I just feel like there's areas where they had opportunity to do so much more and they didn't. And I don't know if it's just because of for COVID reasons, if it's because of maybe they didn't want to go too deep in the pool for the sake of those who maybe aren't, who are more casual with the story and everything. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's areas where they could have done more.
Yeah. And honestly, it really feels like one of the main things that they are suffering from is just the nature of storytelling in an MMO where,
yeah, that's
like,
true.
Sylvanas is a perfect example. It feels like it's been 19 years and we're like, what is going on with her character? It really has been like 4 or 5 years. I mean,
yeah,
like take, you know, Starman as an example. I don't know how many times I heard him go, I'm just so done with her. I'm just done.
Yeah.
I'm just like, who freaking cares anymore? It's been like 19 years of Sylvanas, it feels like. And yeah, I get it. I'm like, okay, can she just go away and then give us a book and we'll just find out what we did from there and just we'll call it a day.
Yeah.
that's what it runs out.
And so, stop bearing the lead for the sake of whatever hidden twist you're trying to give us or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. Yeah. Just give it to us.
Sometimes you can just tell us. That's fine. Yeah. So anyway, I just thought this was a fun episode because...
Yeah, it really was.
Particularly because it was fun to get all the folks from the Discord in the conversation. And on top of that, you know, sometimes this is just a little criticism of my own self. Sometimes I feel like I give Warcraft a little too much of a pass. And I was like, you know what? I think it could use a little criticism today. Let's have some fun with this. So there you go. No pass today there, Blizzard. Well, we're gonna make fun of you a little bit. And your jailer. Because it's kind of dumb. I mean, I haven't seen 9.2 yet. So we'll see. We'll see if you can somehow... Yeah,
there's still... The final word, you know, we both realize that we don't have the whole story yet. We don't have the full ending context. If it is an ending, if we will ever get an ending. But this was still fun.
Yeah, this is great. Well, I guess it's now time to start wrapping things up. So... I mean, you got the patrons at the top of the show, so you get it. Maybe you get to do it again, right? That's how this works, right?
I can do it again. That's fine. Hey, so remember the top of the show when I was like, hey, stay tuned to the end of the show, patrons? Well, here we are. That's the end of the show. So we do want to say a quick thank you to all the patrons that support us. It means a lot. It helps keep the show going. We really, truly appreciate you. If you'd like to join their ranks and support this show, you can do that. By going to patreon.com/livelaughlore. Someday I will do this without being awkward. Our newest patron is Dracorus.
Yeah.
Did we talk about this last episode? I feel like we talked about this last episode.
Nope.
Hey, Dracorus, welcome back. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dracorus.
Hello. Appreciate welcome.
It. Hi. How you doing? I mean, we just talked about
our
you.
Top.
You're in yeah, the beginning yeah. of the show, too.
It's true. That's Dracorus. The top patrons are Pasta Matt, Kellen P, Mud, Chris Malore, and Dungeon Master Burke. Thank you all very much, and thank you to all the patrons.
Yeah, thank you all so very much. Anyway, it's time for us to do a little bit of this.
Stories. There's nothing in the world more powerful than a good story.
All right, well, speaking of a good story, I'm going to add a little bit more to this story. This is the main reason I decided to pick it, because it was on the morning news. Yeah, so this story comes from a place, back to the town, where me and my wife used to go on dates. In fact, it's where we first saw the Pirates of the Caribbean together. So,
aww.
Yeah, and just as a fun little aside on that, that was like the one, and I think still to this day, the only movie that my wife was like, let's go see that again. Like, we actually saw it multiple times.
I knew I liked her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so obviously I had to include this story. So while on her normal patrol, Erica Uria, I think that's how you say your last name, saw a man in a wheelchair stuck on the train tracks, and a train was coming.
I'll be out with the man stuck on the tracks, trying to get him out.
On patrol in Central California, Officer Erica Uria spotted a terrifying accident about to unfold.
I need to get him off the tracks.
Uria sprang into action, bolting from her car to help a man whose wheelchair had become stuck at a railroad crossing, with a freight train fast approaching.
I was trying to gauge how much time I had. So at first I tried to see if I can get loose the wheelchair.
It wouldn't budge, and time was running out.
From my peripheral view, I can see the train was pretty much very close, so I just kind of grabbed a hold of his arm.
Get up. Uria pulled the man from his wheelchair just seconds before the train plowed through.
One out of one, I didn't find you, it's now.
He's now recovering from his injuries, but in stable condition.
Any plans to follow up with him?
And hopefully, if once he's home and rested, maybe I'd like to go say hi.
The time between Uria exiting her car and the train crossing was just 15 seconds. A fraction of a minute that left an imprint on the single mom and 14-year police veteran.
I'm not guessing you're going to forget this day at work.
No, definitely not. I just did what I felt that anybody in my situation would have done. And if that was my family member or a friend that was stuck, I would want someone to come out and help.
And help she did, saving the life of a stranger in need.
Yeah, that was a horrifying story to see.
Wow. So
it was really incredible. Yeah, she was, that actually made national news, and I was like, oh my goodness. Like, so anyway, yeah.
15 seconds.
Yeah, and it was.
Wow.
It's scary. It's actually pretty scary if you see the body cam footage, because if you realize that, oh, they blurred the man out. If you actually look into the story, he did suffer some pretty bad injuries, but he did survive. That's the good news. Yeah.
Wow.
So there's a reason why you hear in the story where she's like, 911, I need an ambulance. Yeah. It was scary.
Yeah. Yikes. Wow.
But yeah, I mean, I just thought it was amazing because it was the body cam footage where most of that audio was coming from, the train noises and her saying, get up, get up.
Right.
Right. That was, it was just a really impressive to see that whole thing go down. Yeah, because she pulled up, she saw it was coming, and then it was like she went to go like try and get him off the train tracks, and then nope, that's not gonna happen, we gotta go now. So yeah, that was a crazy story, so I just thought I would share. There you go, everybody. I was impressed. Yeah and also
for sure
it happened like seriously very not far from here. Yeah, that's it. I think we're done. Make better villains.
Lots of villainy.
Yeah. Make better villains, Blizzard. Do better. I wonder if Microsoft can make better villains.
Maybe?
Possibly?
Thanks for listening to Live, Laugh, Lore. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, or a question that you're just dying to know the answer to, send us an email at livelaughlorecast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter at live_laugh_lore. You can follow Jen on Twitter at Jared Cooster, and you can follow Allie at Allie_K. Meanwhile, be kind and take care.